Hello, Thursday Warriors, and welcome to the Todgcast. I am your host, John. With me always is handsome Tim.
Thank you.
So how about we're so close to that 100 mark. So close.
Yeah. Where are we at? 92?
94, I think.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah, I saw that and was like, what? So make sure you guys hit that like, share, comment stuff. The thumbs up is always good. Leave a comment. Make sure you use the chat. We want to be able to get it a little more public.
Yeah. So use your fingers. You guys have the touch.
Right? Because you got the touch.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Okay. I mean, I could just grab my guitar and play it if you really want.
Yes, I do, actually.
Someday I'll do that.
All right.
Maybe if we ever do an episode where we actually talk about a Transformers book again, I will do that.
So. If they're ever good again.
That's fair. All right. So while we wait to get people in the chat and stuff and everybody get online, I'm going to show you some pictures of cosplay karaoke last night because it was awesome. And we raised $300 for the Heroes Initiative. And it was super great. And I got it. So this, it was themed Spider-Verse, right? So when the Heroes Initiative actually came up, at some point here, you're going to see somebody that's dressed like J. Jonah Jameson. And I was like, you know, because all those guys back in the 80s and 90s were drawing and writing for basically as work for hire. And I was like, you know who else likes work for hire? This guy. And then J. Jonah Jameson came out. all right. So there's me dressed as Max Modal from Spider-Man 650. There's a little better one of kind of the stance he does literally in every single issue. The only thing I'm missing is a sweet mustache.
That's the guy that runs
Horizon Labs. Yeah. Yeah. He was awesome. I was like, sweet. I can finally cosplay as a fat guy.
That's a not nice pair of slacks you got on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I got compliments all day about how well I was dressed.
Thanks.
So this is our winner for best stage presence, because at one point Venom threw Eddie Brock around the stage into a table and drug them all around, and the whole time they were fighting. It was really, really funny. It was committed. And that's our buddy Dan. Every time he comes with a different puppet, and this one was just really good. And his performance was better than both the Venom movies put together. So here we have a Gwenom. That was pretty awesome. Here we have a Vanessa Fisk, aka the Rose the Queen Pin. That was pretty good. This is Deadpool dressed as emo Peter Parker, and he sang Miss Murder by AFI.
Well, that's awesome.
It was
he just
super
has
good.
It stapled to his face.
I know, it's so fucking hilarious. Here we had Gwen Stefani Pool. And she did sings Spiderwebs.
Nice.
Yeah, right. Here we had a multiverse crossover of Peter Parker and Harley Quinn, and they sang Never Gonna Give You Up, so they Rickrolled the crowd, which is even funnier.
Nice.
But this technically does exist, because this would be the Avengers JLA universe, so
yeah,
sort of, except it's a movie Peter Parker, but you know what I mean. Here we have Venom and Mary Jane singing No Rest for the Wicked, which was pretty awesome. I believe they won for musicality. This is Aunt May, who has had too much eggnog. her her mug says, "My favorite nephew bought me this mug." Nice. There's our J. Jonah Jameson.
That's awesome.
And who sang Photograph?
Nice.
Here we have Spider-Woman a la PS4. And I forget what song she did, but it was very good. This was awesome. Dr. Doom.
That's awesome.
From the Spider-Ham universe. So the mask actually was magnetic and would come off and be put back on the whole time. It was super cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then
that's a pretty cool costume.
Someone at some point gave him in the middle, like afterwards, a small Spider-Ham like pop vinyl. It was awesome. Here we have a Peter B. Parker. I forget what he said, but it was very fitting. There's another better photo of him.
Yeah.
This is my buddy Aaron, and in this photo though, and then in this light, he really looks like Charlie Cox though.
Doesn't he? Does.
Yeah.
It's the hair.
I think it's the hair in the 5 o'clock shadow, I think.
Yeah. But he has like that little swoop going on with the hair.
Yeah. It's super good though.
Yeah.
These were two people that were at the bar and decided to sing, so they became the pedestrians. And we made the joke of like, they're the people that Spider-Man would like swing in and save. And and I said, together they are the Wilhelm Scream. we handed out Spider-Man masks to people who didn't have cosplays because we only had, I just showed you, they were the two Peter Parkers. That was it in the whole building. Yeah. Here's one of the Mary Janes.
You're getting into it. You can tell.
Oh, yeah. She was also our cosplay judge. That's Amanda from Liberty Cosplay. Okay. And here's the rest of it. So I think I missed. There's a Mary Jane and Peter that were like young over here by Gwenom and Venom. And then the other host that was not me is Jeremiah, and he was the Green Goblin, but he only wore the mask for the very beginning, and he sang the Green Goblin song from Turn Off the Night, which was hilarious. Nice. That musical sucks. And it's like almost impossible to find the music from that too. So, but that was pretty much our cosplay karaoke. It was a hell of a lot of fun. Todd was there. He judged stage presence. You know, it was a lot of fun. Uh-oh.
Nice.
Why did that screen go away? Oh, no. Shit.
What?
I gotta go to our YouTube channel because I accidentally closed the screen of the broadcast, and I was like, oh balls, I can't go back that way. So anyway. So that was a lot of fun. Thought I'd share with you guys. Just, you know, it is a like I said, it's a charity event for the Heroes Initiative. And we raised $300. We do that every two to three months. The next one we're going to do is in February, and it will be dynamic duets. So you can be a duo, you can be a tag team, you can just be two people from the same universe singing a fun thing. It doesn't actually need to be a couple, but it's going to be duets. And it's a hell of a lot of fun, man. Like, you really need to come down for it sometimes. Like, we just make bad jokes the entire time. At some point we made, I forget what joke we made, but Justin almost dropped my iPad because he was streaming the whole thing onto the Three Rivers Facebook page.
Oh, nice.
And I made some joke and I watched him laugh so hard that he almost dropped my iPad on Todd's head. It was pretty funny. Nice. So
I'll have to come down. I could like bring my phone or something and do like a live stream for our
New
Dimension Comics Presents thing on there.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We could put it through the Facebook or something too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Instagram if we ever create that, which I guess I could do soon, so we could link them up.
Yeah.
All right. So just one, now that we have a couple people here, we all saw the announcement from George Perez this week. Tim and I have a lot of reverence for George, and we have decided that we're not going to talk about it because we want to not talk about him like he's dead when he's not yet, and just remember all the great things that he has done so far and continues to do, which is crazy. So just do yourself a favor and go home and read the best George Perez book you got.
Do it.
And that, you know, reread it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to go look at the sketch that he made for my wife at some point here. It'll be great.
I had already pulled out my JLA Avengers stuff. So
nice. So what was the other thing you wanted to mention before we started off?
Remember, we got gift cards at the store now. Like, we actually do like physical gift cards. So it's holiday season. Right. So, you know, if you don't know what to get that employee that works at the comic store that gets you like all kinds of great stuff and does cool, you know, get him a gift card.
Or his boss who keeps him employed.
Either of them.
Also tells you about cool books to buy and check out.
Across the board. Just, but anyways, no.
Just don't give it to Chip because we'll never get it.
Yep.
No, it'll be good.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys don't know, the cross store rewards have finally kicked in, and it does work. So that means if you spend $20 in Ohio and $40 the waterfront, you're going to get that $5 reward at any of the stores that you go to, as long as you're using the same email. So make sure that you keep that in mind when you do that. So
I think a lot of people, at least the people that came into ours, I just assumed that it would be linked by email. So whenever I would sign people up, if they're like, I got one at the mills, I'm like, give me the email you used. So hopefully,
we haven't seen too many multiple names, but there are a couple that we have had to have issues with, but we're working on it. So, what sweet finds did you find, Dan?
Oh, he finds me stuff all the time. I end up putting some of it I put on the auction, some of it I put on like our pricey wall, other stuff I'm like, thank you very much. He just always finds some good stuff. Him and Ron are really good. They'll go look at dollar books, and then they'll come up with, they'll be like, hey, I found this for you. It's like,
right. Yeah, we just, I feel bad for Ron because we tend to load him up with a lot of stuff and he just buys all of it. Can't keep up.
He does.
Sorry, Ron. I apologize. Sort of.
Listen, before we start, I'm just going to say this is my, I wanted to try and do this like every week, but I forgot. This is my cover of the week. This is Maria Wolf. I'm going to try and get her on the show. Hopefully she'll respond, but this is freaking amazing. This is White Tiger.
Nice.
Yeah. So that is my cover of the week. And this book was very good. So if you didn't read it, check it out.
Cool. So. Do you want to do your discussion from the thing first and we'll end with comics today?
Discussion from
the one from that you said started in the.
Oh yeah. Who wants to talk about this? We got into a discussion about how you tape your books.
Wait. Hold on. Is it how you tape your books or is it how you like store your books?
It's all of it. Like it started with taping And then it broke into all that. So like, I've seen people do things like this, where it's like the tape ripped in half. I know Todd likes to do that with stuff. Mm-hmm. This way, two down. So the, you know, so the flaps don't bend up. Other people just do one in the middle. And like I said on the thing, or you have the monsters that are out there that take it and put it horizontal, which is just like dry.
Or use the resealable, and they just, which is the same thing as a resealable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like resealables, but I don't like the resealables that have the sticky on the flap. It needs to be on the bottom part. So when the flap comes down, otherwise, what's the point? Because it's still going to stick if you pull the book out. So I kind of go overboard with mine. I bag and board stuff, and after a while, I will re-bag and board it. I'm like, oh, that looks yellow. I am redoing that one. But I am in the process of doing my collection, and I thought I'd share this picture. Let me see if I can... so this is how I am doing my collection. The green tab to the right is the title of the book, and the red tab to the left is the year of the volume.
That's pretty good.
And
I dig that.
You know, like Captain Marvel, if you look where Captain Marvel is, there's a couple there. But and my buddy was like, Carl was like, I don't like that because they're too close together. I said, guess I'm just going to have to buy more Captain Marvel books and space them out. this is like, that's box 7. It is very expensive. Those tabs are great.
Yeah.
They're BCW, but they fold so you can put your lid down. So they bend down. But it's like $20 for like a thing of 30 of them or something like that.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So, I have 13 boxes done so far. And yeah. So let's see. We got, Ron says don't tape. Tape can destroy covers. And Dan says he tapes his in the center at an angle.
All right. Hold interesting. On.
I've never seen anybody. I think Francis tapes at an angle at the store, but he does two on the ends. Like one on each end that way.
All right. So normally I don't bag anything, but this was pretty cool. I got this. This is the Department of Truth Gus Mott cover. Because I know Gus. So when I got this, he already bagged and boarded it for me. So it's in a bag with a single piece, right?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna show Ron how you take the tape off and not fuck up your cover, right? So
yeah.
By the way, normally I will do this just without the board. Like for most of my books that are, they're not boarded. I did buy some boards for some of the stuff I showed you on my solo show because I realized that I needed to board some of those books because they're now worth multiple hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Especially those Green Lanterns. You have those bagged and boarded, right?
I do. All my Green Lanterns are bagged and boarded. Just not the modern stuff. All my Silver and Golden Age stuff is. So... You take it like that, and then you just peel the tape off, and you set it down here on the side, and then you can pull the book out without damaging it with the tape. Yep. Slider back in there. Pop that back off, and put it right back where it goes.
I'll give you a nightmare story that will tell you why taking the tape off is important. Somebody had brought us in when we were still we had this at the store. We were it was the first appearance of Vision. We were at the mall.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, can I see it? And I'm still new. And I'm not used to taking my, like, once I put it in, I've read it, it stays in there. So I open it up and I start pulling it up and it stuck right to Vision's face.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God. I'm so dead. I was like, I'll be right back. And like I sat there and I was like, and I'm like peeling as slow as you can peel, like breathing hot air on it, hoping it like just loosens it. And I got it out without any ink off of it at all. And I was like, ah, never doing this again.
Oh, that's rough.
Yep.
I was
like, well, I'm done. There goes my career in comics.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of us did that at some point. Like, we've all had that day specifically at some point. So I'm just glad that yours was not actually that bad. So, because at least it was a first vision back then, which was like a $30 book compared to like what it was a year ago at like $400.
yeah.
Which, by the way, it's back down to like 70 or 80 now, I think. So it's definitely more reasonable again. So, yeah.
I also, if you guys want to check this out, I didn't open it yet. I got this in. I ordered a book. And if it's the book that I ordered two books. One was by Tony Fleece, or I'm sorry, by Trish Forster. Okay. It was a Hawkeye cover.
Is and it the Pizza Dog one, cover she did? Because that thing was cute as hell.
Yes. And the other one I ordered was the Native American Ghost Rider by Ashley Witter. And I'm not sure.
Don't cut yourself.
Which one this is. Yeah.
I'm more worried about you cutting yourself than you accidentally putting tape on the cover.
I keep a nurse handy at all times.
So. Did she just give you a death Hawkeye look? One. Please tell me she gave you a death look.
She did.
Yeah.
The Hawkeye one. Okay, hold on. Let me get the tape off of here. That's cool. So that is the book.
Yeah, that's super cute.
It's amazing. Arf. That's awesome. So
it was store exclusive somewhere, wasn't it?
Yes, this was from
Sailfish?
Arsenal Comics.
Oh, okay.
Arsenal Comics. So I couldn't remember which one I had ordered from them. But yeah, that's amazing. In her style, Stray Dog, probably like $20.
Well, that's not bad.
I don't think it's anything crazy. So I know I saw it pop up like maybe a month ago and I was like, boom, buying it. So, but yeah. So anyways,
cool.
Just wanted to show that off. Like, it's fun opening them. So,
all right. Well, I guess now we'll go into comics and then we'll go to, we'll do some Hawkeye stuff. So,
okay.
You look so menacing. All right.
Ron said, Tim on the show with the giant knife. Listen, Ron. Okay. Right. It's fine. All right. Right. There's just watch the show. Like and subscribe.
Right. All right. I'm going to go first.
Okay. Go first.
All right. This is What's the Furthest Place from Here, number two. The review of this is really, it's actually kind of short because it's really. Not a lot of crazy goes on. It's a lot of running. The gang realizes they gotta get out of that building. They kind of run through this woodsy area. One of the dudes realizes that he got caught flipping over a car and is cut on his chest. and then they check out like a burnt building. And then they kind of end up in like this kind of ghost town place, and eventually they go into this shopping mall. Oh, sorry. There's this really cool scene where they're all passed out in the woods. And then the guys that are dressed like animals are hunting them in the woods, and they're all like huddled together on top of each other. And they kind of look like a pile of dead bodies. And one guy wakes up and he's like, we got to go now. And like, they just keep running, and it's a lot more running and running and running and running. And they get to the market. So they go into the market and they're like, hey, like, who are you? This guy's like, I'm David. And he has like a little, I'm David pad thing. and they kind of try to ask him if they know anything about where their friend is, and he's like, yeah, but we also have like beans and these and these and these, and it's like an actual supermarket. And eventually he's like, well, how would you be paying? And they're like, what do you mean paying? Like, what do you want? Like, what do we have? And they're like, we'll happily take that boy. And I'm just like, whoa. So they instead just trade all their weapons for a bunch of food and supplies. and then it ends up them at a place called Grandma's House, which is an actual it's an old retirement home. So it's kind of like a weird in-between issue. It really was, not kidding, a lot of running in this issue, and it was just very, very boring. I was kind of upset, and or not really upset, but I was a little let down by how boring it was. But you know, could be worse, I guess.
Not a good way to start out a first two issues of a series.
No. This kind of happened with his Multiple Man mini, though. Mm-hmm. Like, the first issue was really good. The second issue was kind of like, I don't know where you're going with this. And then the third and fourth issues were, like, really, really good. So, I have hope. I mean, Rosenberg's pretty solid as a writer, so...
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it. So we'll see how it goes. But that's where I'm at right now, is kind of a little disappointed in it. That's all.
I have, while I'm loading these, I have two quick reviews, or one, two reviews. One's a quick one. I've had a lot of people ask me why I didn't review the last issue of The Me You Love in the Dark.
Oh, because you want to leave it on a cliffhanger? And
no, I'm going to give you my one word review on the last issue.
Okay.
Disappointing.
One piece
of that game. Is all.
One.
Disappointing. My book, my first one. So this is new writer, new artist. Jorge Molina is the artist. His artwork outshines the writing. The writing's not terrible, but the artwork for sure is what you're coming to this issue, at least this first issue, for. This all picks up after Fear State, and we get to see Gotham like we've never seen Gotham before, celebrating. Everybody's excited because this was a very public thing that was going on in Fear State. You know, the Scarecrow's locked up, Gotham is saved, and everybody feels like this is the time for Gotham to come out of the darkness finally. He opens up with everybody partying, and while they're partying, you see two criminals trying to break into a store to rob it. And the one guy goes, there's Batman. He's like, it's not Batman, dude. He's like, Batman doesn't care about us. He cares about the Joker and stuff like that. And sure enough, it was Batman. And he just stood there looking at everybody or looking at the criminals. They end up running away and running to the cops, begging them. They're like, we're about to rob this store. You need to arrest us right now. We don't want to get punched by Batman. Oracle comes on the comm. She's like, the darkness was always your best asset. And she's like, but we've got another kind of crime going on. She's like, there's some mercenaries and they're at a party and you're not going to like what the theme of the party is. And the theme of the party is the billionaires ball, villains of Gotham. So everybody's dressed up like a Batman villain. The party, they show you, kind of show you everything that's going on. Let me go back here real quick. They show you everything that's going on. And then Firefly comes out with a blowtorch, you know, his flame torch. And he's going to burn everybody if they don't start putting money in a bag for him. So we're back to just like these guys robbing for money, I guess, after everything that was like the elaborate plan of Scarecrow. Now the villains are back to just basically just doing bank robberies. It was kind of a little bit of a letdown. So Batman shows up, you know, he fights. Joker's like, come on, what's the matter with you? He's like, let's do this. He's like, hit me with one of your batarangs. And he's like, you're not worth a batarang. Punches him in the face, knocks him out. After the fight is over and Batman has won, Oracle says, look, you've been through a lot. Like, you need to relax. And he's like, I have stuff to do. And she's like, "What? How did you used to relax in the past? What did you used to do after you would, you know, a big battle like this?" And you kind of get this picture that's showing you throughout the ages all the different things that Batman used to do that he really can't do now because Jim's gone and Robin's gone and Superman's off world and Alfred's dead. And I'm sure the Catwoman thing has something to do with maybe the Tom Knight Catwoman run, but I'm not reading it.
Tom King,
yeah.
Yeah, not Tom Knight. That'd be really funny, though.
Sorry.
Calling him the Tom Knight.
Yes. So, you know, he's like, I can't. Like, this isn't, I can't. This is the things I used to do. And he looks up while the party's going on, and this Zeppelin comes by, and it's showing this breaking news that Batman Inc. has been arrested for murder. And Batman says, Oracle, I'm going dark for a couple of weeks. She's like, what happened? From there, you get Bruce ends up going overseas. Looks like this is maybe going to be an international story. And we get a surprise guest at the end that kind of made it a little bit exciting and made me excited to pick up the next issue. But the writing on this first issue was a little flat, but I guess that's to be expected when you're coming out of such a big event like what Fear State was. How do you follow up with that and jump right into your arc? So I understand that, but the artwork was good enough that you should buy this issue.
Sweet. All right. My next issue is My Bad number 2. So this book is just, so it's basically like four stories. Peter Krause did all of it as the artist who did he did Irredeemable, Mark Waid.
Oh yeah.
So Mark Russell does the first one, Bryce Ingman does the second and third one and fourth one, and then Joe Orsak actually does the art on the last one, but Peter Krause does most of it. This book is like kind of like another alternate making fun of DC type thing. So the first miniseries is a guy called the Chandelier, and he's basically Bruce Wayne. So Emperor King, who is kind of like their big bad in that universe, he sends him a salad shooter for his birthday, but he sends it to like his regular actor, like his secret identity, right? Who is the owner and CEO of this like lamp company, right? And like he's just the whole time he's talking to his Alfred about like, damn it, he knows my secret identity. He has to. What? Why would he send me a salad shooter? Blah, 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 blah. And like they show him like in front of his building, and there's like a poster of him holding a light bulb upside down that someone drew a cock and balls over. There's like the computer analysis does an analysis, and it just says its conclusion is it's a salad shooter, like there's nothing else left. And the whole time he's just like, No, it's got to be that. So he's like, the Alfred's like, well, you could retire, and he shows him like reading a big book, and then like becoming like a different superhero, or just like, you know, taking pictures with sick people in the hospital and shit like that. And like they show his car, and it's basically a sports car with a chandelier on his head as well. He's the guy in the back left, top left.
I see him.
So you guys know.
It's almost like a Tick villain.
It's very Tick meets Batman, right?
Yeah.
So then he starts going and hunting down these other villains so that he can find out why he would get sent this salad shooter, and if the bad guy knows his actual name. So the first guy goes to his Pig Latin, and Pig Latin only speaks in Pig Latin. And then Silencio is a silent clown, and he's like, he was no help. So then they go to what the hell do they call this guy? Tone Deaf. And he's basically like a 90s rapper, and they make this really terrible joke where Chandelier jumps off the building and lands on him, and Tone Deaf's like, you don't 9/11 a guy like that. And the Chandelier's like, that's not cool. I mean, a lot of people died in that. like why would you call it that? Then he gets punched in the face. So then he kind of is like, maybe it really is that, I don't know. So he goes to this place called Waspies, which is the world's largest bologna sandwich. And it's a like a 3 foot wide slice of bread, right? Like,
yeah.
Cube of bread. And the there's a bad guy named Boldface who is there, who basically just has like a very prominent brow and cheekbones and jawbones and ears. And he starts beating him up, and he's like, who are you? Like, what are you talking about? Eventually he just goes home and opens it and uses the salad shooter. It was very tongue-in-cheek. It was kind of cool. And then the Emperor King has a little story where he's at dinner with his lawyer at a restaurant, and he's like, hey, we're both really dressed up. People are going to think we're on a date. And she's like, no one's going to think that. Like, people are not that dumb. And the Chandelier comes walking in, and he's like, are you guys here on a date? Like, what the hell's going on? Like, and that's literally the short. Like, it's just, and then the lawyer's like, no, get out of here. There's another one where like a bad guy falls for like free candy in a big glass tube, and then gets trapped because he's an idiot, by Emperor King. And then what's the last one? The last one is like him versus it's Emperor King versus John Amazing Adams shirtless in a fight, and it's a one-page fight. This book has like just screams everything about Ahoy Comics.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I really think everybody should check it out. It's just so bad. Like, it's so bad, it's good. That's why I love it. But definitely,
it's like watching
definitely
bad movies in the theater, right?
It is. It's almost like watching like Mystery Men, but like more serious Mystery Men, I guess, is kind of where that goes. But I really found it hilarious, and I dug it a lot. So.
Nice.
Go for it.
Let's see, what do we got? Let me see photos. Oh, we'll get this one out of the way real quick. And then I'll save the best one for the end. World of Krypton.
Saving the best for the last.
I was All right. excited about this. I remember when they did the big Krypton stuff after like the Geoff Johns Legion story and the, you know, the so I was really excited to see what this was, and then I opened the book up, and it is ugly.
Ooh,
it was rough. So hard to get into this book because it's so bad. The artwork. I'm just, you know, so the story is this. They're on Kryptonopolis, which I didn't know that was a city on Krypton. It seems kind of cheesy. The writing isn't really great. There's a lot of language that's like how we would talk, and that's not how I would imagine people in Krypton in high society on Kryptonopolis talking. And that kind of threw me off a little bit. But this is a ceremony because Kara has been born, and it's like a naming ceremony to introduce her to the public. Let me see if I get, there we go. There's some conversation that's going on, and you meet Jor-El's brother. You meet another Zod, which I believe was Zod's brother. And somebody is trying to, in the name of science, is trying to get Krypton back to the planet that it was. They think that Krypton is moving in the wrong direction, and these are purists, and they want science gone from their society. So they attack. And when they attack, the Zod, who is this gentleman, is one of the Zods, he helps stop it. And he turns to Jor-El and he says, "This is who it was. It was your own blood is the architect of this madness. Cruel." And I wanted to throw up because his name is Cruel. It's about as cheesy as... It's about as cheesy as when they did in the New 52, the bad guy, whose name was Hell. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't get into this book at all. The writing was terrible. The artwork was bad. This book was bad on a level that I noticed the lettering more than I ever noticed lettering. The lettering was not good in this book at all. And that's not something that I'm usually like super paying attention to. I noticed lettering, good lettering, okay lettering, but this was just this was just bad. So I would not recommend picking this up. I would spend that money. If you want to read a DC book and you want to read something that's fun, I would take that money and I would put it towards Catwoman Lonely City by Cliff Chiang. Way better. That's for my money. That's what I would do. But this whole thing, Cruel, he might as well have 101 Dalmatians code on. Dumb.
So you're saying the book was a Cruel joke?
Yeah. It really was. I was telling them.
Well, I can hear you the whole time.
Okay. Yeah, just the lettering. I mean, if you notice how bad lettering is in a book, then the book is bad. There's just so many elements of this book that were bad. So it's done. The review's over. Let's move on to.
Yeah. That's kind of how I felt Patrick. About like the the Steve Orlando Martian Manhunter book, the art. And the art and the lettering was cool because it was like wasn't traditional lettering, but the art was so not my jam that I was like, yeah, no, sorry. So
yeah, and that's Steve Orlando's, you know, hit or miss for me, and it has me a little concerned because he's, I guess, gonna be the new architect of this Reign of X in the next phase after Hickman leaves.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah.
I think that'll be very cool.
It's a big jump for somebody that's, you know, the things that he's written. That's a, you know.
I agree.
Let's see what you got.
All right. My last book is... Did that really just...
Is.
Whoops. Hold on. Not that.
The live chat from
that,
YouTube.
That's what it is. Boom. Ugh, sorry. Like something closed and it happened to slide over. I was like, what the fuck? Anyway.
You know what? It could have been worse.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So I've done every issue of this so far because this book is really cool. This also reminded me something else that was cool that was announced today is Jim Rugg gets to do his Hulk grand design book finally.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Probably not supposed to say this, but I've known about that book for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited that it actually is going to come to fruition. It's called Monster. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
So anyway, this book takes place in the 2000s of this story. So it starts off kind of reminding people that 9/11 happened. Then it goes into Reed is trying to telecommunicate with Galactus to stop him from coming because they have about 6 years. Or they have till 2016 or 2006 before he shows up. And the Surfer comes back and is just like, tells him kind of like how he spared Zen La by becoming the Herald. And he had the same kind of connection. So he thinks that Reed should consider that. He's kind of like, no. Then you see this cool chunk of the story where Franklin goes to Wakanda and you find out that he's married to Shuri and they have two kids. So, so his father-in-law is the Black Panther. and he gives them this kind of cool, like, vibranium halo that'll help him channel his psychic powers because a lot of his powers are psychic as well. And then there's a good scene where Dr. Doom is visited by the Surfer, and Doom's thought is, well, what if I just grow a bunch of people and just keep feeding them every year, like 5 million new people? And Surfer's like, that is the weirdest thing anyone has ever thrown at this. I doubt he'll take it as an offer. So the day comes, Galactus comes. They get ready to do their thing. You think or Reed's like, I'll do it. And he's like, but let me spend the rest of the night with my family and stuff like that. And he's like, cool. So Surfer goes back up to Galactus. Galactus is like, all right, cool. Well, I don't need you anymore. So I take your power away. And he just floats off into space and dies. Which was really the cruelest thing I've seen in a comic in a long time. And then you see somebody in a spacesuit come out and you think it's Reed and here it's Franklin. And he does like a crazy psychic fight with Galactus and then punches Galactus in the face. Galactus disappears. And then by 2009, Reed is kind of like in a wheelchair and can't really move a lot. And they're all just kind of at Johnny Storm's gravesite. But Reed and Sue got back together, and the next issue, which I think is the last one, is the 2010s, because I think this is only a 6-part story, but the picture for them is crazy because they're like super old. But I've loved every issue of this is so good. It's very much so a quick Fantastic Four history, but also very like
different,
true to the story. Like it's true to true to the story, but adapted enough to make it flow to make sense in one timeline, right?
Yeah,
that's the best way I can say it. So I like
that.
Good.
Yeah, that's kind of like the Spider-Man one was like that as well. So I like the idea of those.
Yeah, Sean Isaacs did all the art in here. He's the guy that did Stray with Vito.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. So, you know, and Sean's a really great artist. He's done a lot of stuff after that. How was that book? I think it was a Thunderbolts book. Yeah, he did a Thunderbolts book and a couple other things for Marvel after that, too. So, but he's really killer. I think he's from Spain or Portugal, I want to say.
Okay.
But
if I could do a subtitle to this episode, you called it what, boomerang
something? Because boomerangs, because we'll get to later.
I would subtitle it and purple nurples, and you're gonna find out why.
Okay.
So, because boomerangs and purple nurples. Galactus,
all the purple things.
Chip Zdarsky, this is his event for Daredevil. His Daredevil run has been nothing short of amazing. And the title would lead you to believe, since it's a Daredevil book, that this is a Daredevil story, but it's very much a Kingpin story. And
okay,
that's been a lot of focus in his Daredevil run. In the last issue of Daredevil, there's going to be some spoilers here. Kingpin marries Typhoid Mary. And he is the only one. Something about that
just sounds like a bad idea. I'm just saying.
Yes. But for some reason, he seems to be able to rein in her personalities. But so what we got is, this opens up a few days ago, before the main event. Daredevil runs into Kingpin, and Kingpin throws this folder out and says, here, what's this? And Daredevil's like, I don't know. He's like, and you're thinking like, oh crap, this is where he's going to tell him he knows who he is again. And Daredevil kind of like plays it. He's like, I don't feel like reading that. Why don't you read it to me? And Kingpin's like, there's nothing here. And I'm telling you, there was something in here that was secure and secret, and it has been switched out, and you did something to me, and you did something to my mind. Who are you? What did you do? Daredevil swings away. Now, a little recap for everybody. What happened was, when Daredevil, his identity was known as Matt Murdock, the most recent time, the Purple Man's children, they got together, and when they were all close together, their power was amplified, and they thought they were helping Matt Murdock out. They made everybody forget. He didn't ask them to. They did it on their own. So that's why Wilson Fisk can't remember, and that's why the pages are blank. So Fisk is upset. He's still the mayor, and he's had it with superpowered people. In a Civil War kind of move, he says, superpowers are outlawed in New York City. If you have them, that's fine. But if you use them, you're going to jail. There are no superpowers can be used. He kickstarts back up like the Thunderbolts. The Thunderbolts are back. And you got Scream, Rhino, but there's a lot more other people on the Thunderbolts. A little redundant having Electro with a Thunderbolt logo on her chest.
Yeah.
But this is them getting ready to arrest Moon Knight for being a superhero. What happens next is Miles is getting arrested, and Cap shows up, and he's bringing a baby out of a fire. Excuse me. And they're about to rip Miles' mask off, and Cap was kind of pleading to him, and he throws his shield, just busts this guy's face off, right?
Wow.
An all-out kind of fight breaks out with all the street-level heroes. And I love this moment with Cap because it reminded me of Civil War when Maria Hill was like, you're under arrest. And he's like, you're freaking crazy. And he just kind of plowed through everybody. He's hollering back at her about politics. And then he had this this crazy moment where he jumps out the window and he's like riding this plane, you know? So that it kind of gave me that vibe, just, you know, Cap fighting back against, like, you know, these people and what they want to do. You get to see a little bit of all different types of heroes that look like they're going to be involved in this. The Fantastic Four get put in collars, and Dr. Octopus shows up. He was told by Wilson Fisk that this is, you know, go in there, take care of them, and you can have whatever you can find in Reed's laboratory. It cuts again to some more heroes, and what you're kind of seeing is how everybody's reacting to this or what's happening to them as this law is put into effect. Shocker, also a little redundant that he has a lightning bolt on his chest or thunderbolt chest, but whatever. It was an awesome moment looking at Luke Cage telling him to go F himself as he's arresting Darkhawk.
Wow.
And Jessica Jones is fighting back a little bit. This was also an interesting moment for me because in the background, you have this kind of happens. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think that maybe that might come into play at some point. Maybe I'm just looking into it a little bit too much, but it just seems like they pointed that out very specifically. This guy getting hit in a rock from a superpowered person.
Right.
So they get away. They're laying low. Tony Stark shows up. They're like, dude, if you're laying low, like red is kind of a bad way to do that. And he's like, no, I think I figured out how to take Wilson Fisk down. And he's like, I'm going to run for mayor. And which is kind of a cool idea. Tony Stark,
yeah.
Mayor, tech town. Next scene we have cuts back and Otto is talking on the phone. And he's talking on the phone with Kingpin. Kingpin's like, look, did you get everything you need there? Because this package has arrived and I need your help here. And he's like, yeah, everything I need. And Otto now has access to the Forever Gate, which we've already seen come into play in a couple different stories in Fantastic Four, which is just awesome. But here we go, Purple Nurple. I don't know how Wilson Fisk knew about the Purple Man or if he even knows. Maybe he's just thinking he knows that Purple Man was involved. But he had him taken out of jail. He's naked, so there's a purple dong there for sure. He beats the crap out of him. He beats the crap out of the Purple Man. And then you get a nice... after that, you get a nice screenshot of the rich people that are kind of running politics in New York. And they're talking about the next step for Wilson Fisk and what that's going to be beyond being the mayor of New York City.
Oh, wow.
You know, senator, governor, who knows? But you'll have to pick it up to read it. But it was a really good issue. If you liked Civil War, if you liked seeing those heroes presented with that conflict of like, you can't be a hero anymore and how they would react. It was a very fun first issue. I don't think it's going to be all Daredevil. So don't, like I said, it's very much a Kingpin story so far. I think that's what it's going to end up being because he's had a big focus in his book on Kingpin. So
crazy.
Yeah.
And
great artwork, Mark Cicchetto. So
yeah.
I think that's how you say his name, but yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to ask who did the art because that's some really good art in there. So is he the guy that was doing the regular Daredevil run?
Yeah, he was doing, other than like filler issues, he was doing the main artwork for Daredevil. Yeah.
Cool. So I just saw this under my comics and I forgot to mention it earlier to you before we did the thing, but I got this in the mail today. This is a Christmas card from Howard Bender and his wife.
Oh, nice.
And he drew all the art on it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
There, you can read it.
That's cool.
Right. So I just thought that was really cool. I was like, aw, Howard. speaking of Howard, and Superman people, and stuff I'm actually going to put up the guest list for the show sometime tomorrow. Okay. Nice. So Howard worked on Superman, Ron Frenz worked on Superman, and Brett Breeding worked on Superman. So they're all coming to the show. Nice. So there's a little tease for everybody. Make sure you check out our website and social media tomorrow for that. Ron probably Frenz sometime late afternoon.
Ron Frenz just did a cover on Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He did a we were looking at the different books, and I'm like, why does that look so familiar? And then you see Best Wishes, Ron Frenz. And I was like, oh.
So, did he actually write Best Wishes on it? Because that's even better.
That's awesome. It's Best Wishes, Ron Frenz.
Awesome. So, awesome.
Yeah.
So cool. All right. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Hawkeye. So for those who didn't watch the episode, get out. Mark the time.
Watch the rest of it or listen to this tomorrow.
Make sure you hit the like and share before you leave, though.
Spoilers active.
So the reason I called this episode because boomerangs. A, I own a shirt that is the Hawkeye logo with because boomerangs that is so old that it predates the first trade of the Matt Fraction run.
Yeah.
Right. Might be the second trade because I think that actually happened then. So... this was the scene I was really hoping to get in the car drive on across the bridge, because that's where the scene happened in the comic. But so in this episode they have this really awesome conversation about trick arrows. And the main difference from the show to the comic is in the comic, Clint already knows about trick arrows. He loves trick arrows, and he's like, have you ever used a boomerang trick arrow? And she's like, why the hell would I want a boomerang trick arrow? And he is like, because it comes back to you.
No,
versus in the show, it's the other way around, where she's like, oh, sweet, do we have more trick arrows? And she's like, what about a boomerang? And he's like, why the hell would I want a boomerang? It's because it comes back to you. And, you know, but it's like, very similar of a storyline, like the conversation's almost identical, just flip-flopped. But it happens on the bridge where they're saving Black Widow on the bridge and the books from the tracksuit guys. So that's what I was really hoping it to be instead of the USB one that they used last week.
Yeah.
But holy crap. I appreciated
that because of the tie in to What If. Yeah. I did appreciate that. So.
Yeah.
But when he's like, then it comes back at you. She goes, you just kind of like, dodge it,
right.
Yeah, fantastic.
I thought it was awesome that they talk about that Jack is the leader of the tracksuits. The dinner scene with all of them was great. The fact that he stole back the Ronin sword was awesome. Then I thought it was just awesome that they like they're stocking out Echo's apartment for that watch. And he's just like, yeah, we're going to do it this way. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, where the hell did you go, Kate? She's just walking through the front door.
Yeah. And then
weirds out the dude in the elevator.
Weirds out the old guy. What did she say? I'm trying to remember.
I'm talking to an Avenger. Sure, you are.
Avenger in my ear. He's like, I'll take those groceries.
Sure, dear. You do what you need to do. Like, that was just so funny. Now, it was a very, if there was going to be a Stan Lee cameo, that was going to be it. I'm telling you now. Like, that would have been the Stan Lee cameo.
What's your thoughts on the watch?
So, I'm not 100% on what it's going to be, because it feels a lot like the videotape that they were hunting down in the first in the Hawkeye comic book. I don't know. I think it might have something to do with somehow I think it's going to lead into Secret Invasion, in my opinion. And this is going to sound terrible. So there's this other terrible opinion that his wife is actually Mockingbird, which I think is a stupid opinion.
Yeah, but, it's dumb. That's not going to be that.
But Mockingbird leads into Secret Invasion because she's the one they first find out is a Skrull.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So could be that. My other thought is, what if it's so there's rumors we're going to get Spider-Woman somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
She, for the longest time, was a super spy, worked for Hydra, then flipped the shield. Super spy. We haven't seen her. She's a key part of Secret Invasion as well.
Yeah.
So what if that watch is how they get in touch with her to do that? That's a possibility.
I was thinking, off the top of my head, first thoughts, Tony Stark. Like, it's a nice flashy watch. Like, it's his watch. It could be a suit. You know, it could be a watch suit. He puts it on, and then all of a sudden, it's just like, boom, 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 suit comes out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it'd be the AI that we'll end up seeing Riri use
for Riri. Yeah. So that was my thought, just seeing how flashy it was that, like, okay, if it has ties to Avengers, who would have a watch that would be that flashy and that rich? And I just thought Tony Stark. So, and he's also, you know, big theme in this is, you know, the heroes that they've lost. And he's another one of them. And that's a lot of what Clint is dealing with, is not just his guilt with Natasha, but everybody that they've lost.
Here's my other thing is, now I'm going to go full circle because I just thought of this. I'm going to go full circle into the territory I really don't want to go into. But what if when he was Ronin, he killed the Kingpin, and that's the Kingpin's watch? So maybe we will get the Kingpin, but as a flashback, and that's what they're looking for. Like, the new boss is looking for that watch to take on everything. And then what if the new boss is Vanessa as the Red Rose / the Queenpin?
I don't know if they would kill Kingpin because fans want it so much. But the idea of that being somebody powerful that he killed as Ronin, I think, is a good idea. It could have been somebody in like the Yakuza or something like that, which could, we've already seen some things in Madripoor. Maybe ties to the power broker. So
also possible. I think is very, very possible, is power broker.
You're onto something there with it being a victim of his. That could be something. So
yeah. Hold on a second. You give me your thoughts. I'm actually gonna pull it up. I want to see. There's a scene in the Echo flashback where you see the hand, and I wonder if the hand has the watch on it.
Okay,
Uncle. So I'm gonna flip through that real quick. So
I remember somebody said that you could see the cufflinks, like that he got from his father in the Netflix show. I went back and watched it, and you really can't see any cufflinks. You can see the backside of them, like the pins coming through. Mm. But I don't remember seeing a watch. So
yeah, give me a second while I find it. I mean, what are your guys' feelings? Like, what do you guys think the watch is? I mean, that's really, you know, what we're wondering. It was episode 3.
I think that's going to be key to some. Yeah, that's going to be key, I think. maybe it might not have immediate payoff in the rest of this show, since there's only 2 episodes left.
Right.
But I think, like what you said, does sound good, that this could be something that helps link to whatever's going to happen next, whether it's Secret Invasion or whatever else.
Was the uncle scene, that was right when she does the karate
thing, right? Yep. Okay. Yeah. And he's leaving before all right, she right. does
hold on,
her.
Hold on. I'm almost there. I just got to let it play out. Okay, there he is behind her. Black suit. No watch. Just a hand. There is a cuff link.
Yeah, it's just you can only see like the back part of it like coming through. You don't see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you can't. Yeah, you can't really tell at all. I don't think he looked that wide. I think the uncle is just swordsman.
Yeah.
To be honest. Like I don't think it's anybody else. So
I did think that it was a cool little Easter, the shirt that she was wearing at one point in the episode. Was one of the shirts that she wore in the comic book, the Fraction comic book.
Yeah.
Russian lettering or something. See if I find an image of that for everybody. I didn't think about it. I should have been prepared with it.
So, Dan said the thing where Feige said Charlie Cox is coming back. So first off, he said if they use Daredevil, he will be the Daredevil. He did not definitely say it, though. No, it is very
confirmed.
No, I'm pretty sure his wording, the exact quote was, if we use Daredevil and Matt Murdock, it will be Charlie Cox.
I mean, I gotta look now.
Like everybody just said, oh, he confirmed it, but I'm pretty positive the quote, the actual quote was the word if we use it.
Let's see.
But anyway.
Oh yeah, he's doing it in a very Kevin Feige way. He says,
yeah,
if you were to see Daredevil in upcoming things, Charlie Cox, yes, would be the actor playing Daredevil. Where we see that, how we see that, when we see that remains to be seen. So yeah, I mean, yeah. He is doing his, you know,
very vague thing, but,
it's the same thing with, you know, like the guys from Spider-Man dodging questions. It's like, we get it, like you can't say, but you not saying is saying everything. Right. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we just don't want anybody to pull a Tom Holland here. We'll be okay.
Yeah. We should.
Which, by the way, so I had a conversation with Jeremiah at the karaoke last night about how we really hated Electro, like the Jamie Foxx Electro, because we thought it did not do the character justice at all. And that was the main reason that movie sucked so bad. That and the really awful Green Goblin in it. And we were like, then we both said at the same time, kind of like, shit, this new movie is either going to be really good or going to be awful because of that.
Didn't hate Electro once he was Electro. I thought he was okay. I didn't mind the story of somebody that was looking for recognition from somebody that wasn't getting it from his peers. I thought that I hated the trope of like, oh, I'm a nerd and I've got glasses on and the comb over hair. I thought it was stupid that he fell into the tank with eels that was powering a giant Oscorp building or something like that. And I absolutely hated that he had a gap in his teeth. And when he fell in, it fused them together. What was the point of that? Could you imagine being like sitting there Electric and the director and the director's like, hey, fuse the gap in his teeth. Now, wait, why? Just do it. It's going to be a good point in the story. Like,
so bad. So bad.
There's the one thing we didn't talk about at the end of Hawkeye was the rooftop scene. So the rooftop scene was fantastic. A fantastic fight scene. Echo shows up. I love when Kate Bishop slides down and then she just kind of stops. And then she's kind of like, she's just inching along, like trying to get on until somebody bumps it and she slides the rest of the way. But
I'm pretty sure that happened in the comics too. And it was Kate doing it again. And it was that's a very Kate thing to have, or either Hawkeye thing to happen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And seeing the person with the goggles fighting as well, just showing up out of nowhere. And what I thought was cool was before we get the reveal of who it was, that fighter throws Kate over the side, but she attaches something to Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, I need you out of the way. I don't want you to get hurt. My right. business is with him.
I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to kill him.
I'm right. here to kill him. And I thought that, you know, so then we get it, Yelena, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how she'll be, what, you know, whether it's Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers, whatever it is, it's a more dark superhero team that's doing things that are a little more on a blurred line, right?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if she becomes the moral compass for that team. Because
right.
we know that John Walker is going to cross the line time and again. We've seen that. So, her throwing her over the edge, and then kind of to save her so she could handle yeah. something that, you know, she doesn't have the full story, but based off of the story that she's told, Hawkeye has yeah. to go. So
if they're going, I like this series a lot because they're doing this is the one where they're really pushing both Thunderbolts with old man Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't mean it like that, but you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Bad pun there. And then the Young Avengers with Kate at the same yeah. time, because, you know, the first leader of the Thunderbolts was Hawkeye. So
yeah,
that to me would be good, but it also has like a bit of a West Coast Avengers vibe where they could do it that route as well, but they have her tied with Madame Hydra already. So I don't know where that's going to go. I'm kind of hoping for Thunderbolts over West Coast Avengers, but I can.
Yeah. I think it'll be
see both
Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers. One of the two. I feel like they would call them Thunderbolts, but I feel like storylines from Dark Avengers would give you the better stories. But call them Thunderbolts if you want. You're not going to call them the Dark Avengers and have everybody think that they are actually good guys. You know what I mean?
Oh, but look at the West Coast Avengers lineup and look who's there. Yeah. Cause it basically was the B-team. Yeah. Avengers, because you know, you'd had Cersei and Hercules and Hawkeye and Mockingbird, White Vision, Scarlet Witch, all at one point. They flip-flopped with the original West Coast Avengers, which was the original Avengers. They flipped at one point, and that was the team before the Thunderbolts happened. And we have all of those characters.
Yeah,
we're getting Hercules in we're getting Hercules in Thor. We're getting She-Hulk have her own show. So
yeah.
at some point we could have a West Coast Avengers show in a Thunderbolts movie, or a Thunderbolts movie in West Coast Avengers. Cause like
yeah.
to really do Thunderbolts, we need Moonstone. We need a different giant man.
Well, you've got a giant man sort of, because
yeah, but it wasn't Bill Scott Foster. Lang,
Bill yeah. Foster. And you yeah. saw a little bit of like him being upset with Hank Pym and the direction that he went, and they had a little bit of falling out. So
yeah.
There's a motive there.
Yeah, I mean, who else was in that original lineup?
Also, did you hear the rumor about, because Quantumania is finished filming? Mm-hmm. Did you hear the rumor about who's in that?
Mm-mm.
MODOK.
if it's not Patton Oswalt, though, I'm gonna be really sad.
It's supposedly the dude that played Yellow Jacket.
Like
whatever happened to him maybe causes this. Yeah.
Sad.
So hopefully they don't go that route. There was also rumors that Jim Carrey was going to be MODOK, which would be cool, but it's hard to not see Patton Oswalt's face yeah. and think MODOK. So,
well, they did that in, what was it? Was it Cap 1 or Cap 2? They had some kind of system Might have even been Iron Man 3 when they were talking about AIM. Something was actually abbreviated as MODOK, and they didn't call it MODOK, but they abbreviated it as it.
Yeah.
And it was like a file or something.
Oh, and if you like MODOK and you like the comic book that was out that Jordan Blum did, he said he's working on something else now, but he did a series on Marvel Universe. It's called Spider Bots, and it's basically a short story about like just the Spider Bots.
That's awesome.
And it was a lot of fun. So check that out if you have Marvel Universe. So
cool. Yeah. Well, I think that about wraps it up. We went a little long again tonight, guys. We had a lot to talk about because you guys want to know how we collect books and use tape.
Yeah.
Yep. By the way, I'm a short box guy, not a long box guy. Mostly because the staircase I carry all my shit up is very narrow. And before that, I lived in an apartment and it was easier to store short boxes in a closet than long boxes. So
I had
a long box guy.
Well, when I kept them here, I had the art boxes and I would just have them stacked up like everywhere so you could see them. Once I moved everything to a storage locker, then I just started doing everything strictly in long boxes.
So because it's in your storage locker, out of the way. In your storage locker, do you just have them in piles or do you have racking?
So I have them in piles, but I guess I can kind of show you this photo.
I forgot to ask when you had the photo of them sitting on the ground. I didn't know if you had like plastic shelf racking and stuff like that.
So like right now, this is how I have a lot of this stuff. All of these boxes, I had to sort alphabetically because it was driving me nuts. I was pulling books out as I was doing each letter. And I'm like, this is crazy. I'm searching each box for all the letter A's and each box for all the letter B's. I'm like, this is not getting me anywhere. So for the last couple weeks, I would go once or twice a week and I would just try to get a box alphabetized. So now I can go and I can grab all of the A's and then put them in a separate box and all of the B's. So that's kind of how I have it right now. I think once that I get it done, I'll move it to a smaller unit and put shelves up or something. Because then at that point it's just management. But right now I had to get them out of the house and I want to get them cataloged and then get them in cover price. So, So that's kind of how I have it right now. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching. We're going to get going and that's about it. Next week will not be on Thursday. We'll discuss that here in a minute. I believe you said you had an engagement you could not make.
I can be here now.
Okay. I can't also because I now have an engagement that same night that you said you couldn't do it. And I was like, all right, cool. So So next week, maybe Wednesday night, we'll let you know.
We could probably do that.
Wednesday night's good for me. We'll do Wednesday. Okay.
Okay.
See everybody next Wednesday.
8 o'clock.
So the
temporary Wednesday Warriors.
Right. All right. See you later, guys. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Peace.